Hey Wargamers, welcome back to the channel, Death From Above Wargaming. I'm Aaron and I am here with Tom and Dom for yet another exciting Jump Point episode. Happy Sunday to you. Are you excited? I know I am. So we're gonna actually dive into a topic that we talked about a little bit in the second episode, which revolves around narrative versus competitive play. And what elements of Battletech, really lend itself to competitive play? Which ones lend it to more narrative style play? What's good, what's not, all of those good things. So we're actually going to kick it off with our Ready Room roundtable. So the first thing, let's just sort of rehash some of the things we talked about in our second episode. So, Battletech, is it built for narrative play? Is it built for competitive play? Dom, you strongly asserted it was built for narrative play, and it couldn't really be balanced. I think I agree with that. Tom, I don't remember, and I don't think we really got an opinion from you on this one. So, I'm gonna start with you. What do you think? Can Battletech, and let's think about Classic and Alpha Strike, can it be played as a competitive game, or is it really strictly narrative? Your thoughts, sir.
Yeah, I mean, out of the box, no. If you had a tournament organizer who wanted to put some guardrails around the mechs, it would be very similar to the Battlelytics, right? You would have to run the mechs through and find ones that are like outliers. But the fact that all the mechs can be played is, I don't know, I come back and forth on it because I want to say that no, it's narrative only and tournament doesn't work. But again, I think the fact that you can basically play most mechs and have a good game tells me that you could have a tournament. It's not going to be a list build tournament in the way that some other games are because there's not really like combos besides like covering range brackets and having maybe like some indirect fire that could like if you were playing competitively even in alpha, there's super ways just through like legitimate strategy that you could frustrate certain other forces. Like, if you had mechs that had really good indirect fire, you had aerospace, you could mess somebody up who comes to the table with like a very like vanilla force. Yeah, that's my take.
All right. No, I think that makes sense. When I think about it, I think I mentioned this the last time too. Maybe I didn't, but one of the recent tournaments that Battletech had, I don't remember where it was, but it wasn't that long ago. It was a few months ago, I think. The winner was a guy that played Comstar, and he played, I looked at the lists, and he had basically weight of dice. Right, and we always talk about this, and in Battletech, it's such a, it's such a variable game, right? Like you can roll double, double sixes, double sixes, double sixes, and like you just annihilate 3,000 points off the table. So if you have more units, you're taking more shots, you're more likely to do that, right? So I think that's something to think about. And when we think about how we could make Battletech competitive, I don't know that it's so much around which units you pick, because theoretically battle value is supposed to put guardrails around that, and so is PV. But it's more about, I think, how many units you can put on the table and what types they are. So a couple of things there. Let's talk about unit type limits and restrictions. Dom, what are your thoughts on that? I mean, can you really govern the game through limiting things like, no aerospace, or you only get two infantry bases, or whatever it might be? And does that really take away from Battletech being Battletech?
Well, I think if you're going to kind of put it at its like most core here, you absolutely have to do that because you are, especially if you're kind of going into the competitive side, because you're always going to get that person that shows up with a Savannah Master spam list, right? Like it's going to happen. And the problem is with that, it's so unappealing. Like if somebody did that at my gaming table, you know, I'd be very, I'd be very upset because it's you know, it's what in Britain we call not cricket. You know, like, you know, there is the spirit of the game as well as the actual game itself. So, and you cannot, I think, 90% of people will be fine. But you're going to get that minority who just bring like infantry lists and it's just not fun, right? And I think fun is the core prerequisite to playing a game, really. You know, call me an outlier in that, but I know, but like even then, like if you're going to a tournament and you're not having fun, then what is the point?
I agree with Tom. I think if when you're playing in a tournament, right, Dom, think about our favorite other game, right? I mean, you show up, you show up to win, right? And I think,
yeah, but that's not BattleTech. Like, the other game that you are talking about is, you are correct, because they've got a very, like, very, very strong tournament scene, and they give like cash prizes, and it's like filmed, like you know, they do it at Las Vegas, and it's a big like event. BattleTech is not that. Right, that's where I think the line is drawn, and I think it doesn't really attract that type of person usually. But one problem that BattleTech has always had is there's no real standardization in tournaments. Like it is a bit ad hoc, and I think that is problematic for the game because I'm not a tournament player really. I've done like a couple, but I'm not a big tournament player. But they really do drive the game. Like the non-tournament players will still look at that and analyze it and be interested in it, and it gets a lot of buzz around it. Yeah, exactly that. And so it's not that everyone's going to be a crunchy meta player, but I still think it's important. And I think to get that, we need standardization and we need common sense, really, when you're doing it. So yes, to answer your question, I think you absolutely need to put parameters on it.
Yeah, and I mean, the other game, I believe that the major tournament rules that people use were a third party, right? They're not from Games Workshop.
To be clear, the other game I was talking about was soccer, but
oh, that's even funnier. Are you fielding VTOLs on your soccer team now?
100%. Only my best players play. So the other kids can sit the bench. No, I'm just kidding. I'm not. So the thing is this though, Tom. Like what you're saying is right. Like Nova Open put guardrails around how to standardize like where the terrain is and things like that. And I think we've joked about that in the past, which is kind of silly. But every single one of these war games, if you can't, and in fact, I would even go as far as say Magic the Gathering as well, right? Like you can find ways to exploit and win. Yes. And then they end up right. And you always hear like, oh, what's the local meta or what's the tournament meta? Right. It's like, and then it just keeps evolving. I will sort of say like the refreshing thing about BattleTech for me is that I don't have to do that. And I don't ever want to. And it's really secretly one of the reasons I don't play formations in Alpha Strike, or we typically don't play them, because you can get very gamey in it. We talked in the last one in the Interstellar News, we talked about the force manuals, right? And I'm hoping that they'll be good, and I'm hoping that they won't make the game like, you know. I think this is why a lot of people do enjoy that 3025 era, though. The simple beauty of it.
Because I know, you know, the people that I have, I mean, I, you know, when you find people to play with, you're going to get like that one person who wants to kind of stretch the kind of competitive side of it, and that's fine because that's, you need that kind of drive in a in a like a group, but I think you also need to respect that, like, there are more elements to this game than just, like, the crunch. If you want to do that, then can I recommend a game called Warhammer 40,000, which is, you know, all about that and all about the, you know, like, just revising the rule sets, like, all the time. And it's, again, it's not what BattleTech is about. Yes, PV and BV are good guides, but they're, like you said, we'll probably do an episode on that at some point because it's quite interesting. But I think I think ballpark is a good way to do it. And I think you can kind of set it up within like certain scenarios as well. So if you've got a player who's doing like a defensive part of the game, they might get like a, you know, less battle value, if you want to put it that way, because they've maybe got better position at the start. So you can kind of do all manner of like weird and wonderful, interesting things. I don't think you have to kind of absolutely kind of, you know, drill down and like read the rule as written in terms of how you're going to do battle value. There are plenty of ways to kind of work around it and just be sensible.
Yeah. Well, I'm going to wrap this round table up. I mean, I think we're all on the same page here with the way the game is best played. And I do think like that narrative style, when you communicate with your opponent, you generate relatively balanced lances. Doesn't need to be to the point. I mean, could even be by class like we do it. And I think that keeps it fresh and fun. I mean, you don't have to get hung up in like, well, if I do this guy at skill 3, you know, and this guy at skill 4, but I put in this battle, you know, at skill 5, then I can exactly hit 300. Mm-hmm. That's awful. I don't want to do that. I just want to pick a force that's cool. Anyway, let's get into our Interstellar news. All right. So we've got some things coming up here, Dom, in Q1. Some exciting minis. On top of, these are separate and distinct from the Mercenaries Kickstarter. Tell us what's on the way.
So we have got 5 mercenary packs coming. Either they might be out now. I believe I heard unlikely. One of the guys from, yeah, probably unlikely. I heard one of the Catalyst guys say that there was a little bit of a hiccup in them getting this to market, but they should be out relatively soon. I think it will certainly be around like January, February, 2023. Yeah. What I'm going to do is I'll go through each one very quickly. You've basically, these are all kind of exclusive box sets as well. So some of them are only available at certain places. I'll highlight that as well, just so you know where you can get them. So the first one is the Iridani Lighthorse, which Iridani Lighthorse, obviously one of the most famous like mercenary groups in Battletech. This contains the Sagittaire, which is an absolute new sculpt. It's a beautiful mech, the Sagittaire. It's very weird looking. I think it's on front of one of the like the Fedcom Civil War TROs. Next up, we have got the Grey Death Legion pack. This is, for me, one of the most interesting packs in there. This is exclusive to Barnes and Noble as well, like the Iridani Lighthorse. Don't know if I said that, but I'll do these two together. So just so you're aware of this, this Grey Death Legion pack is actually like a 3150 era box. Mm-hmm. So it's kind of weird how I've done it, because obviously we associate things like the Marauder and the Locust with the Grey Death Legion. But this has kind of brought them forward. So you now get the Gargoyle T, which I believe like the, you know, the commander of the Grey Death Legion runs this mech. And I think it's the T, but I'm not 100% sure. We then have Catalyst Games Labs have got an exclusive as well. This is a Wolfhound and a Nightstar for the Kellhounds box set. The final two, and these are through distribution release. So the first one is the Northwind Highlanders. This is released through ACD distribution. So if you want to know how to get this, your local gaming store will be affiliated to this group. You'll probably see that on their kind of like contact page on the website. So if they've got this ACD tag, then you can get that here. And finally, and I've kept this one till last because this is my favorite, this is released through Alliance Game Distribution. So another one of the big distribution centers. Your gaming center may do both. So you may have both Alliance Game Distribution and ACD Distribution and can get them both at the same store. And this is the Hansen's Rough Riders. And this contains Hansen's Rough Riders, if you don't know, they're a Lyran like affiliated like mercenary group. So they like big stompy mechs. The Atlas is in there. The Penetrator, which is the new sculpt, which I believe we're going to look at in the render blend.
We got 3 mechs actually to go through. So Tom, prepare yourself. And actually 3 of them are in the packs that we talked about. So these are some of the new sculpts that have not been seen yet. Penetrator, Night Sky, Sagittaire. We are going to start out with this Night Sky here, Tom. And I'm going to go full screen on this puppy. And I just want you to know I got 3 different pictures of this Night Sky.
The same mech. Okay, yeah. So let's go through them.
One, two, three.
Okay. Nice. Okay, go back to the second picture. We'll start there. I like that he has a toilet vent. That's great. So I love underslung guns to start. I love asymmetrical mechs. That head is really interesting. It looks like a spaceship docked onto the guy, but also has teeth, like a, you know, like an old supervillain's lair in a volcano. So, you know, going into the skull, yeah. Great mech design, great legs. Again, the rear, really well-defined jump jets and all sorts of vents. Like, what a great... What is up with his arm? Is it some kind of...
It's a hatchet.
It's a hatchet.
It is. What an interesting design of a hatchet. So, great. All right. It almost looks like it would, like, extend out from his hand, you know? Like, slide out. It'd be awesome. So, yeah, I mean, great design. Like, really cool.
Yeah, I like the vents in the legs. Like, I like all the detail, right? There's a lot in here.
There's just so much. I'm literally staring at it because there's so much going on. So this is an A-plus design.
I agree. And it's one of the ones, you know, like the Devastator, where it's got a lot of new design cues and things we have not seen before. Let's take a look at the Penetrator. One of the new mechs. This thing is interesting looking, very cool.
Yeah. I'm giving it like a B. C plus B.
Yeah.
Not a huge fan. Yeah, it's just like the overall design that doesn't say BattleTech to me, you know?
Okay.
That is just a render, right? That's not an actual sculpt. So, you know, some of that like really, really fine detail doesn't always get brought through, but I don't know. You seem to like it, Aaron, but you do like those really big mechs. So,
I don't think it's like real big. It's a 60 or 65 ton, or maybe 70.
Really,
if I'm not mistaken.
Like a real big ton.
But it has those like Thanatos style reverse, like weird chicken legs, which I always think are cool. I actually think this mech is sort of goofy looking, which is why I thought you would like it.
Right kind of goofy.
This little gun just looks like an HR violation waiting to happen. but I do like the arm cannons on it. The cockpit is lackluster for me too. But you know, good detail overall on this thing.
The legs are a standout. Like those are.
I do like the legs. Yeah.
I like that part where it sort of sits into the hinge on the lower section of the leg, right? Right there. Yeah.
Yes. Oh, I see.
Are those jump jets?
They are.
Yeah, that's like a really cool way to integrate jump jets.
Yeah.
You can almost imagine like the legs would, you know, like fold forward or something.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Turns into a lamb. Let's look at the Sagittaire.
Yeah, so I'll give it a B. Whoa. This thing is like an A +++. It's you talked amazing. About weird. This is the right kind of weird for me.
This is the right kind of
it
weird.
It looks. And now, so it's very faithful to the original, it almost takes the original and it's like, let's take this to the boardwalk and have somebody do a caricature of it. You have these guns that are absurd. I mean, the guns are absurd. And
so stupid.
Look at them all.
This thing is.
It's beautiful. It's like, absolutely
are you
beautiful.
Is this real or are you trolling me with this one?
So this is real. There's a couple things.
I love it so much. I can't even describe.
I love that you said it's faithful to the original because it does. I mean, even the move. And you can't tell because I can't obviously spin this around. But just looking at the two pictures, it does even look like the same exact walking pose. Mm-hmm. And like the way it's tilted forward, I think, in the cover, and it's shooting all the lasers.
Somebody loved that thing.
My understanding was this is a brainchild of Loren Coleman. This was his like favorite mech in the universe. And I think he may have designed it or something along those lines.
You have like a notable Coke binge in the 80s or something. Guys, I got this idea for a mech. Like, this thing is great. Just wait till you see it. And then this thing pops out.
I mean, it is just.
Can you show me the back again? The back is really good.
I'll show you the back.
I think we need to spend some more time on that. That is one of the best rear ends in BattleTech.
What's going on there? What is going on with those little like plates on its backside? What is this?
It's like caution stripes waiting to happen.
They're probably heat sinks.
So different. Yeah.
But it looks like it's a blender or something. Like
us.
Well, this is the render blender.
It is the render blender.
It's like an orc design where they like took a bunch of like appliances from somebody's house and were like, we got this.
All right. Well, on that note, speaking of appliances, would you say B+?
I said A++.
Oh, A+.
The thing is
A++.
One of my favorites.
I like the night sky out of all three of them the best, I think, but all really good designs and exciting to see all these new mechs after so many years, you know, getting reinvented and in plastic. That's going to be really, really cool. So lastly, we're going to wrap up here with our patron Q&A. This one is from one of our veteran patrons, Josh. And the question is this.
Say what?
So we're talking about Clan vs. IS. Is extra IS tonnage and skilled pilots enough to get past Clan light and medium TMMs? I'm gonna go ahead and take this one.
Go on. Yeah.
Yes and yes. 100%. Clan lights, especially like the really fast okay, ones with high TMMs or on classic, right? They cost a fortune. And anytime, Tom, you and I play and you have light clan mechs and I have an overwhelming number of inner sphere mechs, I mean, typically I win. And vice versa, right? If I'm playing clans and you're playing IS and you have numbers, there's just nothing, like eventually I'm going to roll that 9 or 10 that I need. And there's just nothing. Yeah, the thing gets right. It gets obliterated because it's got, you know, 3 pips or whatever, an alpha strike. In classic, it might be a little bit of a different story because they last a little bit longer. You might hit like an arm or blow off a leg or whatever, but like, yeah, that's my thought.
There's only a few scenarios where the clans come to the table with a little bit of an advantage with the higher TMM, better movement, mm-hmm. but I'm 100% on the same page. And for the first couple rounds, the clans will look like they're going to dominate, and it's just a matter of time until
it's the meat grinder.
The fourth. Yeah. And that's the thing, and that's what IS can stand up to. Like, it looks like we're getting all these hits, we're doing all this damage, but the IS still has, you know, 10 pips left or whatever, you know, or even 5 in alpha or whatever is a lot.
Yeah,
so
it's a lot. Yeah,
yeah, I agree. You got to get lucky. If you do get lucky, though, it hurts quite a bit because they do still put out some good damage and they're very frustrating if you have good terrain. And yeah, it's very situational, but
yeah,
9 times out of 10, they're going to get just shredded.
I agree. And Josh, thanks for the question. So yes, I do think the extra IS tonnage, right, and skilled enough pilots will overcome that TMM deficit. And even if it's a 4 or a 3, you know, I think they'll eventually land those shots. And the clan pilots, the clan mechs, just they're not going to stand up to that. So we're going to wrap up this episode of Jump Point here and now. Guys, don't forget to check out Ares Games and Menus for all your Battletech needs. I'm sure I'll have some of those new packs, maybe the HRR and the Northwind Highlanders one. Those, you know, he might have relationships with those distributors. If not, definitely check out your local gaming store in Barnes & Noble for the others. But that said, that's all I've got. We're wrapping up. Thank you so much for watching. Stay tuned. Always great stuff coming from Death From Above Wargaming. Have a great afternoon.